That's a good all for Penrite today. Penrite Oil is Australian-owned and trusted for more than 90 years. You can visit penriteoil.com. Nick Riewoldt is here. Ray Shaw, not far away. Ray Shaw, you might say, the father of the newest coach in the AFL, Reece, is going to join us. But first of all, welcome, Nicholas.
Morning.
How are you, young man?
I'm great. What a great weekend of footy. Just the storylines. It's not always the footy, is it?
We've got enough time today.
We'll make sure.
We'll make sure we squeeze it in. You did Friday night for Fox. You were sitting there pre-game when this whole Brad Scott thing was developing. You had your say then. Is it different to what you're thinking now?
No, it's pretty similar.
They decided then.
Yeah, well, no, but the way it was being reported, it was as definitive, I think, as you could be without actually hearing from the football club or Brad themselves. But yeah, no, pretty similar. And we just spoke about it, didn't we, Tim? You saw the immediate response. You saw the emotion in the playing group. And that can get you up for a week. Absolutely. Mm. I mean, how many times have we seen that? A caretaker coach comes in or a coach gets sacked and then the players respond for that 1 week. But my concern on Friday night and that remains now is for the players whose careers are in limbo. So where do they sit? They're the ones that are going to be feeling really nervous and uncertain.
Who are they?
I think clearly players like Todd Goldstein, who have been at that club for a long time, that you've always got your untouchables. But I even think a player like Ben Brown. I think a player like Ben Brown, who's an absolute star, if a new coach comes in, and we don't know who that's going to be. So essentially you're in a situation when you are not playing for the incumbent's respect because the person that's going to be steering that ship, unless Reece Shaw does a hell of a job and then he ends up getting the job, but I think that's highly unlikely. So someone new might come in and have completely different ideas about what needs to happen at that football club in terms of a rebuild. So it leaves players like that in a really difficult situation.
So this is what we need to get to today. Apart from if you're going back to the rebuild now, like this is the rebuild in inverted commas, they're going to go back to the draft. That's what I'm hearing. Okay, so that means you're Tarryn Thomas's. Yep. Your Davies Uniacke, your
untouchable
Bailey Scott, and probably three others are about the only ones then on that list that you're not prepared to deal on. Is
right.
that fair?
Yeah, no, I think everybody and a new set of eyes will be cast over that group of players. And further to your point, Nick, there are four players that came in at the end of last season, okay? How are they feeling today? Because they were recruited, I would think, because the coach wanted those players. And we're talking about Aaron Hall, we're talking about Pitta, we're talking about Pollock, and we're talking about Dom Tyson.
Yeah, Pollock's really the one, isn't he? Because he's the one that held the most currency and had the greatest choice. And he left a footy club that was on a pretty decent trajectory in terms of what was forecast for them. But we know that they couldn't pay him what he ended up getting. So that's just what you have to live with.
Yeah,
I mean, Brendan Goddard went to Essendon.
Yep. And look
a year before everything broke out there. So that is the choice you make as a footballer. And we talk about, if you had a choice of going to a club the next year thinking they could win the premiership, no one would have gotten it right the last 3 years. But I think you're right. Those young players, they're the only ones.
Because
the best players, they're the ones that have the most currency. So if someone new comes in and wants to go down that path.
So
well,
Cunnington?
Well, who knows?
Yep.
Who knows?
Yep.
I wouldn't say any of those players
are off limits.
Are absolutely safe.
Surely Tarrant would be off limits, would he not?
No.
You think that everybody will be up for possible trade?
Only because at the moment it is the full range of coaches, potential coaches that could come in and all of them could have different interpretations as to what they think the best path forward is.
Right.
And they would all rate those players differently. So some of them might not rate, the lockdown defender that's not a great,
ball user. Are you saying, though, that you think that their list is a basket case right
now? No. I'm just saying anything's possible.
No. If I can jump in. So you can stay with the list, Tim. This is where I think they've arrived at, North Melbourne. They can continue with this list of the Cunningtons and the Zeebles and Golds, all that, but they will stay around somewhere between 8 and 14. Or 8 and 15.
Right.
And that's where it looks like it's going to be for the next 2, 3, 4 years because they haven't got enough of that young talent coming through. So what they're at now is saying, okay, if we're going to throw not throw everything out, but if we're going to start again and do the review and all that, how are we going to get where we need to be in 5 years' time? And
let's
it's not hanging on to that group.
Let's say it's John Longmire, and this is purely speculative, but he's a name that's been thrown around. Just say they go to John Longmire and they say, we're going to give you a 6-year deal. And he says, well, I'm only doing it if we blow it up and you give me 6 years to start again and build it from scratch. Well, in that situation, a lot of those guys that we've just mentioned, they're the ones that have the most currency to say to blow it up. That they might be the ones that get looked at.
Are we then saying that they got it horribly wrong 2 years ago when they, Boomer Harvey, Pete, at that stage, did we not all think that this is what they were doing? They were clearing the decks to rebuild their football club 2 years ago.
Those folks weren't going to take them where they needed to.
I understood that, but hang on. But what we're saying now is that they've wasted 2 years. So we're saying, okay, you've got to clear the decks now. That's what John Longmire needs to do. You start again. They should be 2 years into the rebuild of their football club.
Well, no, I think they're further into, or they're starting from a better position of a rebuild by having done that, because you've gotten the games into some of those younger players who otherwise might not have had that opportunity with those champions hanging around.
So the next part then is who do they
look to?
Who do they look to? And people say, oh, he's contracted till then, he's contracted. Don't take any notice of that.
Yeah.
Don't take any notice of the contract.
Okay, your wish list is?
Because your coach in the end, if your coach turns around and says, I'm going, then you're not going to say pool dust. unless you've got 5 years to go. So where's your wish list? You start at the top. You go straight to the top.
Yep.
The first call you make is straight to the top.
Clarkson?
Yep.
Yeah. Okay, then you go.
Well, then you can raffle them.
Okay, the three names that have been mentioned so far, obviously because they've all got links to North Melbourne, are Longmire, that you've already discussed, Nick, and then there's Adam Simpson, and then there's Clarkson. Okay, so you'd make a call to those three and their managers for a start. In fact, this is the other part to all this too. I think Craig Kelly, I think he manages all these guys. Yeah. Is that right? Is he the manager of all these?
Yeah, he's a huge stakeholder in this whole musical chair of coaching, isn't he?
And I'll tell you who he's got. This is a senior coaches at TLA.
Yep.
Brad Scott, Brendan Bolton, Alan Richardson. He's got all three of them. Simon Goodwin, Chris Scott, Leon Cameron, Nathan Buckley, Stuart Dew and Adam Simpson. And then the aspiring coaches of Barker, Kingsley, Solomon, Rutten, Lepich, Brendan Lader, Matthew Knight.
How many coffees do you think he's going to be having, Ned, in the next few weeks?
And it's written
he's going to be having a lot of coffees.
This is in Michael Warner's wheelhouse.
A lot of catch-ups.
He says it. And he's a close friend of Lefleen, and their relationship dates back to the VFA Old Zavarians, and Lefleen was a groomsman at Brad Scott's wedding. This is
all. It's all connected, isn't it? Connected. Okay. Where do you sit on the favourite sons coming home to coach? Because we've seen it. You know, we've seen it happen with Vossie at Brisbane, with Leper at Brisbane, with James Hurd at Essendon. Now the difference there is they were first time coaches.
Yeah.
But where do you think is it purely romantic, or does it add something in terms of the fabric? So you don't end up in a situation where, you know, David King was very critical of Brad not being a true shinboner, a North Melbourne person. Do you like the romanticism, or is there something more tangible in that?
I love the romanticism in football. But in this, I think the interesting thing with this is that if you get an old North Melbourne person coming back that's had success, and you're talking about those three coaches who have had a link to North Melbourne, they've all had premiership success, okay? So you get a premiership
coach.
You
get a bona fide, don't you?
That's right. But you also get the emotional injection with your football club as well, which is your ability to be able to sell your football club. So that's important. That's important too. But I don't think you rule anybody else out because they don't have a connection to the shinboner spirit.
Yep.
And it's a bonus. It depends who it is, I guess. Yeah. I mean, Clarkson has got connection to North Melbourne because he was a player there. But that would be well down the list of the criteria when you're looking at him.
If you're John Longmire, just say you're John Longmire right now and you've got the Sydney Swans and that list of players and what you're building there, or you've got the opportunity to take that 6-year deal and get all the things that you want to be able to build your team, and you say, okay, it's going to be a long project. What would you do under those circumstances? You've got the Sydney Swans contract, which might be another 1 or 2 years that he has there.
Yep.
Or do you take a 5 or 6 year? Let's just say, hypothetically, that gets offered to him.
Yeah, well, again hypothetically, it depends if you're up for the fight. If you are up for that challenge as a coach. So we know he's pretty much for the majority of his coaching career. Now, what comes first, chicken or the egg? But he's he's been a high-performing coach in terms of results. So he hasn't been a coach that spent much time down the bottom of the ladder. They've developed kids really strongly along the journey. And even earlier this season, there was a bit of a question mark whether John Longmire was going to be up for the fight of a rebuild. Well, I reckon within a month we've seen just what he's able to do with a young, inexperienced group, a forward line that's had no Franklin in it, and they've performed really strongly. So, you've been a senior coach. Yeah. How much of your family dynamic would come into a decision like that? So he's got kids, doesn't he?
Yeah.
They're in school in Sydney.
That's a good point. They are really well settled, and his family really love being up there in Sydney. His kids obviously at schools in Sydney. So that has to be a huge component that comes into the decision. He's been up in Sydney now for a long, long time, John Longmire.
Yeah, and so if it's essentially apples and apples, Sydney and North, and they're going down a reasonably similar path. If you're well settled, gee, the lure of going back to your old club, that would have to trump all, wouldn't it, to make that decision?
Yeah, and I mean, in terms of horse, also don't forget that the Sydney Swans have publicly come out and said he's our man long term.
They've backed him. They really have.
And again, we're speculating. There's no 6-year deal on the table. No. We're just
that's what happens at this time of year. Everyone's fair game. Mo Worsfold back to the Eagles as the son that favourite son has come off a text message that went back and
there's another one. Success.
You know, in this game, when one marble drops, when something happens, it always tends to force change somewhere. Are you expecting that to happen?
They're the dominoes, Tim.
Yeah.
The dominoes. Yeah, absolutely. Well, it'll happen.
Doing sound effects.
That's right. I asked Skeeter for some, and he said, no, we don't.
Don't
have any.
Can't afford it.
absolutely. But do you think we'll ever get to a stage like, say, the rugby league where they know in advance? Do you think we can or we should even get there?
No, I think that what's happened at North Melbourne is the right thing. Like, if you decide, if one party decides that they want you out at the end of the year, you decide that you're out at the end of the year, I reckon you've got to go at that time. If that decision's already been made.
But what about if he has, in the next few weeks, he does a backroom deal with someone, Brad Scott, to coach somewhere next year. Do you think that should then just be put on the table?
I don't like it.
You don't like it?
No, I don't like it. I just think when the coach knows he's not there, you go.
Yep.
The second you know, as soon as Brad said, this is what's on the table and I'm prepared to go, then you go. Which is what happened. I think it got brought forward earlier. That's the only part of this whole thing that hasn't been explained to my satisfaction. It doesn't matter what I listened to that presser yesterday and they sort of danced around it a bit. Mm. This wasn't the time frame they wanted. It was forced upon them, but they got the right result. Let's take a break. I want to ask you about Paddy McCartan. I want to ask you about Gary Ablett too, where he sits in all of this. Nick Riewoldt is here, SEM Breakfast for Melbourne Airport. Long-term car park, $99 for 7 days. It's even cheaper if you book online. Don't forget, caller of the week, you could win a Toyota Hilux SR5 by the year's end. Toyota means business on now. Search Toyota Value, the pre-season draft. First pick, we are told, Josh DeLuca, Carlton Football Club. We broke that news here on SEM Breakfast on May 13.
I think
Josh DeLuca, Fremantle, ex-Fremantle, going to Carlton.
Well done.
That was because Sausage told us, and he just reminded us. So there you go. Thank you, Sausage. Nick Riewoldt is with us. Rui, over to you. What's on your agenda?
I was going to say, we're talking about Carlton there. That was just another missed opportunity for them yesterday. So a period in the second and third quarters where they have 21 out of 24 inside 50s, and they managed to kick one goal. The inside 50, forward 50 targets have just been an issue for them. They've got three guys there that are really capable. Harry McKay is just such a great contested mark, but he never seems to find himself as the deepest. Curnow looked good in the first half and then just disappeared. And then McGovern late in the game where it's there to be won and he's not on the ground. One thing I want to speak about is I saw it late in the game and I had to shake my head. So cast your mind back to the Collingwood game. And they're about 10 points down with a couple minutes to go. And in the middle of the ground is Cruiser, Cripps, Murphy. They're set up for the long down the middle.
Yes.
And Jacob Wiedering's got it at fullback.
Yes.
And he kicks sideways into the pocket. Held up, goes back off the mark. You lose the opportunity to take on the corridor. You burn some time. Now, they might not have won, but no game awareness in that situation.
I've had it written down as
so
well.
So yesterday, Lachie Plowman.
Same.
Goal square, 2 minutes to go.
They're all set
two
up.
Two scores down. They're set up down the corridor. He goes sideways into the back pocket. held up on the mark, burns 20 seconds, he goes sideways.
He goes back to the goal square again.
Game over.
And they're deeper again. Yeah,
game over. So that complete lack of a game sense and game awareness. Who cares if you lose by 3 goals?
Yep.
Take the game on, go down the corridor and give yourself a chance to score. And yeah. and that was it. That was it. And
those
so when I saw that, I thought, these blokes haven't learned anything. This is 3 weeks after, surely, like we all dissect it. I'm not, surely this got, and we're, it must have been, it had to have been spoken about.
Well, there's a no-brainer. They were all set up. So Hartwell,
So they know, or at least a percentage of them know what they want to do.
Yep.
So I'm putting this back on the player.
Yep.
The players have got to be so much better than this. Understand the situation that you're in. Show some leadership.
Ball in hand, you control the game. Ball in hand, you know that you're 10 points behind. You know there's a minute and a half to go. You know where you're going.
Absolutely. Well, we saw the players. They were set up. They absolutely understood.
The leaders were jumping up and down in the middle of the ground.
They couldn't have made it more obvious.
Here, kick it down here.
And you go back, you kick sideways, you play it safe. I mean, that's
bad.
That's first 5 minutes of the game sort of stuff.
Yeah. That's also ball and footy club stuff. They know what they're doing in that situation. Yeah. So that's a bad. Tell me about Gary Ablett. On his second little situation last week, he said, his first one, I'm not a dirty player. I don't want to be known as a dirty player. He's thrown a right fist to the head of Anthony Miles.
Yeah. It's,
he's not a dirty player, Gary Ablett.
No.
But he's going through a phase where he can't control what he's doing.
No. And he's looked a bit frustrated, which is funny. Because the team's playing brilliantly, and he's playing as well as he's played, numbers-wise, but impact on games, he's having as much impact on games as he's ever had,
so
I think.
So what is he doing?
So I'm not sure where the frustration is.
He wants a week off.
I don't know.
That's what it looks like. It looks like he's saying, I want a week off. Scotty's not going to give me one. I'll damn well get one myself.
And he's not a dirty player. You're right. He's not a dirty player, but it is. When I saw that bit of vision...
He has to go this time, doesn't he? He has to go this time.
Well, not according to him. Not according to Gary. But
apparently it is Michael Christian that controls the MRO.
Well, yeah. We'll see.
You can't mount a case for him not going.
No.
He's punched him in the head.
No. Well, we saw Soldo the week before.
Yeah.
Which was an elbow, not a punch.
Yep.
But the ramifications were still the same. Yeah. The bloke got straight back up and kept going, but he got a week.
Is there anyone out there still prepared to defend Gary Ablett after the weekend? 1-300-736-736.
Have they gotten progressively worse?
Yeah, I think so.
They have, haven't they? Yeah. The three.
Well, the other ones were you can be
in
described
play.
As footy actions.
Yeah, yeah.
But you describe, you can explain it in the context of footy. I was trying to block whatever. There's no explanation for this.
No.
Andrew, did you see any of the West Coast Eagles Adelaide game?
No.
Okay, I was going to ask you a question about Tech Walker.
I've seen that bit of vision.
There's that bit of vision, okay.
Yep.
But watching that game, and this was great.
Just explain that because people won't know.
Okay, he went for a ball. Well, he didn't really go for the ball. He should have gone for a ball that was a ground-level ball, and he pulled out effectively.
He jumped out of the way.
So it was quite symbolic too.
Exactly. He did everything he could to avoid body contact in a situation where he should have been trying to take the body contact.
And what was symbolic about it was the other bloke coming the other way was the other captain on the ground.
Can I just be devil's advocate?
I was going to get to that
for
point.
20 seconds. Oh. There was clearly in the back of their mind was the head high contact because they're coming at it from different straight on the ball in the middle.
Yeah,
and Shannon Hearn had a look. Shannon Hearn took his eyes off the footy to look at Tex because I think he was very conscious of not.
Well, because he was going to get their second.
Yeah, and didn't want to hit him in the head. Tex also had a look. The problem why Tex is going to cop it more heat is he then jumped backwards,
pull back
out of the road.
Well, the other reason he's going to cop heat is because he's got form.
Yes, and the bloke who's not playing that's been dropped is kicking six in the sandful.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And I looked at the last quarter of this game, okay. Kennedy, Darling and Allen at one end of the ground gave plenty for their teams. And at the other end of the ground, Adelaide Crows, in a critical last quarter in that game, they got nothing out of Tex Walker in that game. I want to ask you this question. Can you be, like, it seems to me that he's a great locker room or dressing room type captain and very much a leader of the players there. I don't see that so much when he gets out onto the ground and plays as the captain. Is it possible that that's enough to be the leader there and not the leader on the ground, Nick?
No way. No, absolutely not even close. Because the role of a captain is to drive high accountability in terms of your actions on the field. That is the most important job as a captain, to set standards, to be able to bring your teammates along with you. And if the standards aren't being met, well, then to hold that to account. Now, if you're not doing things well yourself, that's a really difficult situation to be in as captain. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean you always have to be in great form. That really helps. But the one non-negotiable in terms of being a captain is your effort, because that's the one thing that you really try to hold your teammates accountable to, is delivering on great effort every week.
Okay, you're going to get the news headlines to think on it then. What do you do with him? What do you do with Taylor Walker and the captaincy at the Adelaide Footy Club? Nick Riewoldt to tell us after the 7:30 news headlines. Thank you, Meredith. Nick Riewoldt is with us. Don't forget, jumping on the AG Power Tools open line gives you the chance to be the caller of the week and win a Toyota Hilux SR5. Best prize in radio. Toyota means business. On now, search Toyota Value. Nick, I gave you about a minute and a half. What do you do with Tex Walker, captain of Adelaide?
Well, I think just because you're captain, it doesn't mean you're immune to going back to the sandful. And I think Dom Pike showed a bit of courage. And one thing that's really important in a football club is integrity of selection. So if you're going to go out and make statements like dropping Bryce Gibbs, like dropping Josh Jenkins, if other players are falling into the category form-wise and effort-wise that don't meet the standards, well then everyone should be, exposed to the same level of scrutiny and integrity in picking the team, in selecting the team. So if Dom Pike deems that, Texas form doesn't stack up, and most importantly, that his effort hasn't been good. Now, we're talking about one incident, and there are lots of incidents within a game. And I didn't see that entire game
enough.
Of footy.
Yep. And 2 weeks ago, he was pretty good. Tex, two or three weeks ago.
The Saints game, he was a difference. Yeah. The Saints game, he was best on ground. And what he did that day was he played with a physical presence. So it was almost like a bit of a watershed moment for him this year, because he just started crashing packs. Now, he didn't touch the footy for the first time until about the 25 minute mark, but he was in the game before that. But if Dom Pike deems that, those issues are real, well then I think everyone should be exposed to the same level of scrutiny.
He hasn't walked away from it this year, has he, Pike?
He's been strong.
He's been really strong.
On Gary Ablett. I just had a text from Luke Ball. He thinks he's figured it out.
What? Well, he's the smartest man that's ever played for
Ball. He's very smart man. Very, very smart man, Luke Ball. He's a new father.
Not enough sleep.
Grumpy.
Not enough sleep.
Grumpy.
I'm not sure it's going to wash, but we like
that's it. He should run with that tonight.
Let's take an early break, because Nick got to leave us a touch early today.
No.
He's happy about it too. Hardball, loose ball is up next. SEN Breakfast in Melbourne Airport. Long-term car park. $99 for 7 days. Even cheaper if you book online.